This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Coming up at 9:30, Nick Kostos, and we will hammer the shine for this weekend. But in the studio with us right now, because there is a big event this weekend at Foxwoods, it is Chris Costa. How are you?
I'm good, Greg. Good to see you, man.
Great to see you. There's a big Card Vault card show this weekend at Foxwoods.
Huge.
Okay. Yeah. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so we have a trade show set up all weekend long at Foxwoods. It's in the new Rainmaker Expo Hall. There's going to be hundreds of vendors, all sports cards, trading cards, memorabilia. But on top of that, we have an amazing lineup of autograph signers. Mm. So some
is Wiggy going to be there?
Wiggy will not be there.
No.
But we just talked about him potentially being there.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Oh. Yes, to see the performance.
Greg, you would have loved it. Wiggy immediately goes, well, if I go to Foxwoods, you know, I got to stay over. He was pushing the room situation.
Well, I need a suite.
Oh,
the room is like
who do you want?
Yeah, executive suite.
Yeah.
Who do you want to see?
Oh, Fabulous is going to be down there performing.
Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Well, Wiggy will show up at an autograph signing and bring his own autographed 8x10.
I will do that.
8x10. It's glossy. Glossy 8x10.
Yeah, I have no problem at all. Yeah. But I actually like getting this stuff. Last time I did an autograph show, I was so happy because I did it sitting right next to Lawrence Taylor and then got a Lawrence Taylor autographed jersey. Uh-huh. So I don't mind.
So who's going to be there this weekend?
So we have actually a really good lineup. We have Johnny Bucyk, Hall of Fame Bruin.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We have James White, former Patriot.
Mm-hmm.
We have Doug Flutie.
Yes.
Which is a cool guest.
Some heavy hitters.
How is the
Scal? Who you and I have, been on stage with before.
What's the value on the Flutie autograph? Pretty high?
Flutie autograph, depending on what it's on and what the item is, can go anywhere from, you know, $100 to, if it's on like a game used ticket or a real authentic ticket. $1,000.
Really?
Mm. Oh, yeah. My old man has the Dropkick Flutie autographed photo where the Gillette Stadium where he did the once in like 80-year dropkick extra point.
Yes,
huge piece of memory.
I bet his CFL stuff.
Did he catch you trying to sell that out from under him so he could pay for a trip to Florida?
I don't know how he saw it on eBay, but he's very quick.
Orange Bowl stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What is currently, when it comes to like cards, what's the White Lotus? Like, what's the most valuable card that is out there currently?
I think the card is still the 52 Mantle, right? Mickey Mantle's rookie. But there's so many.
How much is that sucker?
A PSA 10. So there's a grading system, right? And it's all based on conditions, centering, edges, corners. And there's three.
So it's mint?
There's three in existence that are mint. And it's estimated that would do about 30 to 35 million.
No.
Wow. 30 or 35 million?
Yeah, Jesus. There's three of them.
That is so, every time you come in here, I'm blown away. Yeah. Those numbers just don't make sense to me. Who has that money that's going to spend it on a card?
Well, I want to know who has the card. Who has the three mint cards?
Yeah, one of them's owned by, I believe it's the owner of the Diamondbacks.
Okay.
Another is in a private collection. He's a New York lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And the third is a private collection, but I'm not exactly sure who that is.
I wonder if they use them for, like, we talked about this the other day for, like, you know, they host parties and cocktail events. Is somebody pulling it out there? Like,
no, because then it's not mint, right?
Well, no. But
it's sealed. A hermetically sealed.
Like, say, hey, let me show you something. And they have this special type of, you know, only eyes get you in this back room.
Pops out of the ground.
Yeah, and like, you know,
you got to wear gloves to pick it up.
The bar opens up, and next thing you know, it's just like, are people showing those things like that?
It's like artwork.
I mean, it's so like they, having a Renoir or something.
So
like
they
that.
Had it on display at the last All-Star game at Coors Field. And it had a full security detail, and it was transported by a military transport. It was, I mean, it's a $30 million asset.
What is it with baseball cards, though? It seems like they're always the most expensive versus any other sport.
Well, that card in particular, like that, the Honus Wagner, which is the famous T206, like those are vintage pieces of history that have real rarity associated with them. But basketball cards, football cards, I mean, there's some huge sales. I mean, a Luka Doncic rookie just did $3 million.
What's a Brady rookie card worth?
Depends on which Brady it is. His best rookie card is his championship ticket, which is, there's 100 copies. That's $1 million plus. That's $1 million plus. Yeah.
But why does it seem like because there's, you know, players who, you know, the NHL has been around forever and there's basketball has been around forever, but it doesn't seem like the value of the older cards even compare what the older baseball cards get you. Because, like, that Brady value is ridiculous, but you just talked to Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
And what's that, a 50s card?
Yeah.
How
52.
Come a Bill Russell rookie rare card doesn't hold the same value, or a football player or a hockey player?
Yeah, it doesn't hold the same value, but Bill Russell's rookie's big. But to your point, baseball cards are what started it all, right? The 52 Mantle, the pre-war stuff, those are the first collectibles, and they were all baseball, because baseball was the sport.
Oh, okay.
But other sports have certainly, you know, come along, and, you know, the Bill Russell card would, you know, be a 6-7 figure card.
How much is the Jermaine Wiggins rookie card worth?
Priceless.
Yeah.
It's a priceless asset. There's not many of them lying around.
Do you have one?
Yeah, I got a few.
You do have your
Most
rookie
things
card?
Are rare.
I want one.
Yeah, but very rare.
What about the younger guys right now? Like, can you predict who down the road is going to be the one you want to hold on to if you've got it right now?
So that's the other side of the market, which we also participate in at our stores, where, you know, you're speculating on a lot of these rookies, right? And this rookie class, especially in the NFL, someone like Brock Purdy came out of nowhere, right? For the Niners. And his cards have skyrocketed. Kenny Pickett, who led to, you know, end-of-game victories towards the end of the season for the Steelers, his cards have gone hot. But yeah, I think the younger generation, in particular Burrow and Mahomes and Herbert, those guys' cards have huge speculative value because everybody expects them or has kind of priced in the fact that at some point they're going to win something.
Mm. Didn't Mac Jones go for like $300,000 or something like that?
Yeah, Mac's cards are doing, they're hurting right now.
Right.
But, you know, I heard you guys talking on the way in. We get some new
but
coaching
just that
in there.
Fact
and
to, just to think that
some weapons.
At one point, it was going for like
big money.
Yeah.
His Prism 101 Black got pulled, which is a 101. It's one of a kind.
Mm-hmm.
And it sold immediately that day for like $120,000.
Wow.
Now, would you recommend, I am currently big into the crypto NFT space.
Oh, here we go.
How's that going?
Would you recommend that one shift their dollars into the trading cards?
I don't know if I ever would urge anybody to shift their dollars. Okay. I would always encourage you diversify.
Dollars,
right?
Okay.
So having alternative assets like crypto and cards and then, you know, traditional assets, it's... Okay.
How's the NFT space for cards doing?
Actually pretty good. The manufacturers like Panini and Topps, they in certain cases have manufactured NFT versions of those physical releases, and those cards actually do big money.
Because wasn't Gronk and Brady doing that?
How's yours doing, Greg?
Fantastic.
Really?
Killing it.
Oh.
We're buying
strong.
The dip.
It's really funny that you stopped bringing it up entirely. It's almost like you don't want to talk about it.
It was his lead every day for about a month.
You literally had every other lead was about the metaverse.
Oh, I'm holding some land in the metaverse, which will show improvement value-wise in the near future.
Did you get it for free from the mayor?
Yes, I got it from
the mayor. He minted it. It was a mint.
All right, so this weekend at Foxwoods, how does one get involved?
Yeah, so this weekend at Foxwoods, Saturday and Sunday in the Rainmaker Expo Hall, for tickets and autograph signing information and everything you need to know about the show, you can go to cardvaultcardshow.com. You can follow us on our socials, where we're giving updates pretty much every day at this point, at CardVaultUS. It's going to be a fun weekend. A lot going on.
And how's your dad doing?
He's doing well.
One of the nicest people in radio in the history of all radio.
He's a good man.
I'm a big fan of your father's, so make sure you tell him I say hello.
I absolutely will.
Okay. All right. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right, and get Wiggy. What do you need, a suite? That's what you.
Yeah, what do you need? King suite?
Oh, well, I mean, let me run it by the wife, and then we'll figure out.
I don't need per diem.
I don't need no per diem. It's fine. Right. Just give me no blackjack table.
All right, Chris, thank you.
Thanks,
and
guys.
Here is Courtney with what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The good news is that the Celtics and Bruins have been doing pretty well when it comes to playing on the same night. They haven't lost both together since January 6, 2022. Unfortunately, that came to an end last night. Both teams took an L. The Celtics led by as much as 15 in the game and then trailed by 13 in the fourth quarter. They came back. They got the thing to overtime, but that wasn't enough. 120 to 117 was your final. Jason Tatum had 35 points and 14 rebounds. Jaylen Brown had 22 points. He did miss those two free throws with 7.6 seconds left in OT. That would have helped the Celtics out quite a bit. Are you worried about this team at all, Wiggy? When you look at, they've lost three in the last 4 days.
I'm worried about the depth because of some of these injuries that potentially could linger.
And it's a lot of management. So that means that's not going away.
Right.
They're going to have to deal with this for the rest of the season.
I definitely think you need a big man. I definitely think, because we all know that Rob Williams is, you know,
day to day,
and he's always one play away. And now it looks like Al Horford's dealing with some issues. So I think you need a big man for depth, because after those two, you don't have anything.
Well, the Seas are off tonight. They take on the Lakers tomorrow at home. The Bruins also got a loss in Florida. 3-2 was the final to snap the Bees' six-game win streak. They're off tonight. They take on the Panthers tomorrow. Tom Brady watch. David Beckham has posted some photos from a pizza spot in Miami. Tom Brady in attendance, along with David Beckham, Dave Bruttman, and Jeffrey Soffer. For those who don't know, Soffer owns 47% stake in the Miami Dolphins.
Wiggy, what did David Beckham sound like when he was pitching Miami to Tom Brady?
Oi, Tom!
No. Sounded like the Twitch voice, Curtis, with an English accent.
Oi, Tom, let's get a proper tea. And then next thing you know, you play for Miami, proper tea.
Who is this guy? What is his father's name?
I've been queuing for 2 days now just to send my regards to Queen Elizabeth.
I knew there was a reason this guy was on, and it's because Greg knows his dad. His dad is Billy Costa, you ignoramus. One of the all-time great radio people.
Yeah. I wanted to ask Chris.
That's not why he's on either.
I wish he was still on. Billy was making national headlines after an interview he did with Teresa Giudice from Real Housewives.
Ooh.
Yeah, it didn't go well.
Oh, it didn't?
No, Billy came at her hard, as he should.
Check this out.
Yep. All right, on to football. The Jets have hired Nathaniel Hackett as their new offensive coordinator. He replaces Mike LaFleur. And reminder that Hackett developed a good relationship, a great one actually, with Aaron Rodgers, while serving as the Packers coordinator from 2019 to 2021. This is a done deal in my mind. Aaron Rodgers is going to the Jets.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Sunday is coming up very quick. The NFC and AFC championship games can be heard right here on WEEI. So listen for free either on 93.7 or on the Odyssey app. Quickly, we've talked about it a bit this morning. Sad news, longtime voice of the NCAA tournament, Billy Packer, died last night. He was 82. And succulent, tender, juicy. Anyone want a roast for dinner? Today through Thursday.
That sounded good.
Stay through Thursday at Shaw's and Star Market. Pick up beef eye of round, bottom round, chuck tender, or bone-in chuck roast for just $2.77 a pound.
You had to be a succulent.
When you see the digital coupon, that's limited to two per customer. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
32 degrees outside, sunny, afternoon high of 40.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Karen Grigian of the Herald yesterday afternoon with Mego and I think it was the entire rest of the station.
Yeah.
Andy Hart, Fitzy.
Ken.
Yeah, yep. Good, great interview. And so they looked under the hood when it comes to the New England Patriots, and the engine had thrown a rod, apparently. I do think it's interesting that there's Karen goes out of her way to point out that there's many players, not as Wiggy was suggesting yesterday, one Mac Jones who is driving the narrative.
I said more than Mac. Anytime I say Mac Jones, it's the only thing you hear.
We have 30 minutes, you two. Can we survive right. The end of the show?
Well, if he stops coming up with the fraudulent lines that he's saying, I said.
Yeah, you just said he was the number one.
Yeah.
And that is the case if you are the quarterback of a team and there are multiple sources and you speak. That, of course, you're going to be the number one source.
In the Twitch chat this morning, number one playa hater 55 says Mac Jones definitely was the source. He sucks and he's soft like most millennials of my generation. So
all
they're
right,
blaming
dude.
It on they're blaming it on his. He's not even a millennial. He's pre-millennial, isn't he? Yeah.
Mac?
Yeah,
Gen Zer.
I think so.
No, I think Mac Jones is the very end of millennial.
Oh,
I don't
he
think
is?
He's a Gen Zer yet.
I try and not get into the, you know, oversimplification of judging people simply by when they were born. But if we're going to keep ripping millennials, don't we have to rip Greg and people of his age that raised them?
True. I think you're right about that.
I mean, I think so that, if you don't want soft kids, don't raise them to be soft.
Also
like me.
Not a millennial.
By the way, I grew up in Dover, Medfield Line. It was crazy. It was basically like living in Roslindale.
But Curtis, you, I mean, you were raised with a silver spoon in your mouth.
Nope.
You have brought yourself to a point where you don't act like that. You're not whining about work things.
I'm honored to do this for my life. This is all I ever wanted to do. The fact that I get to do it with people I enjoy, there's nothing I would want more. So I'm not going to sit here and, you know, judge people for their lives and what they choose to do. I'm simply going to say that the entire environment has changed in less than 3 years. We have become what we mocked. We change coordinators every year. What's the direction? What's the team doing? There's infighting. There are certain cliques. There are coaches in positions they shouldn't be in. Like, all of this stuff.
Do you think heading into last season, Bill had some sort of understanding that he was going to be able to get Bill O'Brien this season?
No.
And that Patricia Judge was a placeholder?
No, I don't think that Bill was like, this season's going to be a wash until I can get Bill, so let me just go with Patricia and Judge. I thought he was, you know, doing something different, and he thought it was all going to work out.
Right.
I truly think he made a massive mistake, and he knows that now, but going into last season, he thought it was going to work.
It's kind of like I'm almost caught in this world, because it pains me to say, is it time for Bill to move on?
Oh,
because unless he's going to pay elite playmakers, these guys are not going to buy into how you do things. Like the days of what you used to do, players are not buying into that. Players, even with Billy O'Brien, like we heard in Alabama, those guys didn't like the way he coached them down there. What the hell's going to be the difference when he coaches the guys here? These guys are not going to like him. It's almost like you have to change how you, and we had Dante Scarnecchia on, but, and I kind of disagree, but you have to change who you are as a coach to be able to coach these guys. You need to be like the Kyle Shanahans and the Nick Sirianni's and the Zach Taylors.
He's never going to be like that. It's too late for him to be like that.
Well, then you either got to go out and get the elite athletes, or Robert Kraft is going to say, I need to get one of those guys.
This offseason is going to be, in a word, fascinating, because who are they targeting? What are they spending their money on? Are they making their life easier for Mac? Are they bringing more defensive guys? Are they not spending? We all believe that Bill Belichick wants to spend, correct? He brought up the 27th in cash spending at the press conference unprovoked. So if they don't spend, does it, I mean, it's going to be, it's amazing how interesting this team is, even when they're not that good.
This is Tom from Connecticut. Hey, Tom.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Grew up in Winchester, but love you, Courtney.
Thank you.
Everyone's all worked up that Bill doesn't gush about a second-year quarterback who had one decent year and one lousy year. Bill spent 20 years not gushing about Tom Brady, who was never named Player of the Week. Brady's attitude was, hey, I'll show this guy, and he did. Mac's attitude has been to whine and cry to anybody who will listen. I'll just bet that Billy O'Brien will straighten him out and quick.
But thanks, I don't folks. Think that any of us are asking for Bill to gush about Mac. All we've said is he has shown no commitment to him. That's all. It's a simple, yes, Mac's our quarterback. He doesn't need to say Mac's the greatest. He doesn't need to gush about him, which he did, by the way, before the season last year when he said Mac has made dramatic improvements. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't understand that way of thinking at all.
I also think when Tom Brady was here, whenever it was asked, is Tom Brady your quarterback next year, Bill almost, like, laughed at the question. Like, are you really asking me that? Of course he is. It was almost shutting people down. Instead of giving these weird responses that are no answers, just saying that Mac has proven that he can be a quarterback in the NFL. That's so bad.
And here's a guy that's been the most progressive coach in all of football for 20 years. Game plan specific schemes, diagnosing things independently, showing them to certain teams based on strengths and weaknesses. He also has to evolve with the player.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
Tom Brady's don't exist. Peyton Manning's don't exist. Players need to be coddled a bit more. You need to adjust.
The X's and O's isn't as important as you need to be able to evolve with the way that these players think and how they feel.
Okay, but the argument that Mac Jones is going to be unable to be coached hard by Bill O'Brien when he was coached hard successfully by Nick Saban.
He wasn't coached. Stop it, Greg. That's a fake narrative.
It's laughable.
It's a fake narrative. Billy O'Brien has been the offensive coordinator at the University of Alabama where Nick Saban has been the head coach, and those guys complained down there. Every last one of those guys were complaining the way Billy
O'Brien didn't.
Mac, he wasn't there with him. Steve Sarkisian was the offensive coordinator when Mac was.
You don't think he was coached hard by Nick Saban? What's wrong with you?
Listen, so why are these guys complaining about Billy O'Brien?
I don't know, people complain left and right. I don't know.
So how come Alabama players weren't complaining when Steve Sarkisian was there as the offensive coordinator? They weren't complaining when Brian Daboll was there as the offensive coordinator. They weren't complaining when Lane Kiffin was the offensive coordinator. All of a sudden, in the past 3 years, they have these guys down there, whether it's Bryce Young and some of these other players, have been complaining about how hard Billy O'Brien is and how difficult it is to play for them. So now you're telling me, and we already know from talking to Scott Nekia, that's who he is. He's not going to change. He's now going to come here and blow up on Devontae Parker, and Devontae Parker's going to be cool with it?
Well, I think in the case of Billy O'Brien, somebody who knows what they're doing, you're willing to be coached hard by that person.
It doesn't matter.
They have credibility attached to it.
He went blow for blow with Brady on the side. Did you see that video?
It's different when Joe Judge is trying to raise his voice, having just destroyed an NFL franchise, which, by the way, is much better quarterback-wise once he left. It's easier to be coached hard by a guy who knows what he's doing than some idiot like Joe Judge.
How many guys, truthfully, on this team,
don't lie,
except for the guys who didn't go to Alabama, even know who the hell Billy O'Brien is?
I don't know.
I bet most of these guys don't know Billy O'Brien. They probably just like, okay, he's another offensive coordinator who's going to come in, and we don't know how he is. Mm-hmm. Mac, you didn't play for him. Did anybody play for him? Who do we know? He would not leave Brady alone in that video where he was going. He wasn't even backing down.
Yeah.
And Brady stopped talking, and Billy O just kept going. And now you're telling me that the players on this team with the unnamed sources, and we've heard from Karen Garigian on how there's been several guys complaining. They're all going to be able to just
no. You can't get have it both way. If you're going to say millennials don't like to be have a you know right. complain about work all the time, this is only going to add to it.
Right.
All right. We're about to get to Nick Costos in a moment. This is Fran from Boston. Yes, Fran.
Hillman, Happy New Year to you and the crew. How is everybody?
Great. How are you? Happy New Year.
Very good. Hey, Wiggy, love you, but I got to put you on the spot, my
Go
friend.
Go ahead.
Listen, I think to settle this dispute between you and the Hillman, I think that Curtis or one of you guys need to do a compilation of your commentary pre-draft all the way up till now on the quarterback at the New England Patriots. I'm not saying he's the best, but you have torn him apart pre-draft, draft, right. post-draft. Since day one.
Right. He has a bias. He has a bias against him.
Fran, who's more...
huge bias.
Fran, let me ask you this. Who's close? Who's closer to being right? Me, the guy who said, well, he's probably just a middle-of-the-road quarterback, or Greg, the guy who said, oh, we have the next Brady.
Better than Brady.
I'll be Wiggy, I'll be honest with you. Year one, you were wrong. Year two, you were right. I say we wait for year three.
Thank you.
We get the new coaching staff in, and then
we'll judge.
You guys can
I agree. On the line with us right now, the host of You Better You Bet, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Check out all the latest lines right now on the BetMGM app and listen to You Better You Bet, the podcast, for more of Nick's analysis. He's also brought to you by Kentucky Owl, the wise man, American straight bourbon whiskey. And he joins us this morning on the Harbor One Hotline. Hello, Nick.
What's going on? That's great sports radio you guys were just doing. First off, I feel like we have the handshake emoji. Joe Judge ruining my two seasons as a Giants fan and then ruining last season for the Patriots. Yeah. So I feel like we can commiserate together. Uh-huh. Yeah. I feel like Patriots fans, our Patriots players, do know Bill O'Brien. They probably know him as the guy that traded DeAndre Hopkins to the Cardinals for David Johnson and a second-round pick, probably what they know. But, like, you guys like this hire, right? I think it's a great hire. He's a great football coach. It was just when he had personnel control in Houston, he screwed everything up. And I think, like, as far as coach goes, I think he's pretty good, no?
Yes, it's a change of scenery.
Yeah, I like that.
Mac's going to embrace it. Mac wants to be coached harder. He's going to be coached harder.
I think Greg is right, by the way. Mac's not better than Brady, but obviously. But I still think Mac is good. I think Patricia and Judge completely submarined him this year. So we'll see what happens next year.
All right, let's look to this weekend. Shime and I are all in on Cincinnati.
It's a really tough game. I mean, I like Kansas City a little bit, but I mean, it's just, it's absolutely impossible, right? I think this is a live betting game, and we talked about this last week with the Eagles and Giants, right? When, like, if the game starts and Jalen Hurts looks awesome, the Eagles are going to blow them out in the game, and that's obviously what happened. Not just because Hurts looked really good on the first drive, because the Giants were completely overmatched. Now, before the game, if I had to bet, I would bet Kansas City on the money line. You can get them minus 21. Yeah, I would bet Kansas City. So Patrick Mahomes, high ankle sprain in 2019 in the season opener against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Andy Reid and company are on record this week as saying that Mahomes' high ankle sprain then is worse than the one that he suffered now. In week two of that season in 2019, they played the Raiders, 443 passing yards. Week three against the Baltimore Ravens and the first Mahomes-Lamar Jackson game, 373 passing yards. He never had a bad game after the high ankle sprain in 2019. He missed a couple games later in that season, like towards midseason, including a Sunday night game against the Packers, which was really hype. Mahomes and Rodgers. Matt Moore had to start that game, and the Chiefs covered the spread. But Mahomes was really good. So I think the only thing that's going to be compromised here, and maybe it's going to be a big deal, is obviously going to be his mobility to a degree here, right, with the high ankle sprain. But I think otherwise, you're going to get full Patrick Mahomes. Like, he practiced in full on Wednesday. He practiced in full yesterday. The anticipation is he's going to practice in full today. Not going to be listed on the injury report. Cincinnati's still going to be without three of their five starting offensive linemen. Now, look, maybe the game starts, and Mahomes hands it off to Isaiah Pacheco on the first play, and he's limping a little bit. And then, like, they're screwed in the game, and you should probably, like, rush to bet the Cincinnati Bengals. But if on, like, the first possession of the game, like, Mahomes is moving around okay, like, you are getting an unbelievable discount here betting Kansas City, because the fair price of this game, if Mahomes is fully healthy, Kansas City is at minimum -3 and probably -3.5. And they're -1 right now. And we understand why, because of the uncertainty. But if he looks good, this is going to be a discount price. Now, even if he looks good, Cincinnati can still win the game and cover the spread. I'm not saying Kansas City's a lock. Just that, like, if I had to make a bet right now, it would be on Kansas City. And if people out there agree with me, if you agree that Kansas City is the bet right now and that Mahomes is going to look better than people expect, I think you have to bet the over also. It's 48 because of the expectation that Mahomes might not be 100%. And if he's close to it, this game's going to get into the 50s, I think. So the total sitting at 48. If you like Kansas City, I think it correlates to a play on the over.
And the previous head-to-head is meaningless?
I don't know that it's meaningless because, like, Burrow's such a badass, obviously, and, like, such, like, an ice-cold killer. But, like, it's not like Mahomes has played poorly in these games. Like, Burrow maybe has played a little better, right, especially in the AFC Championship game. So it matters, but so does price. Right. If you told me that Kansas City was -3.5 and you're going to tell me, well, since he's beaten them three times in a row, even if Kansas City wins, maybe it's like a field goal game and you want to bet Cincinnati, then sure. But like, you basically just need the Chiefs to win the game here. And maybe Cincinnati wins. Like, I'm not a fortune teller, right? I'm not presenting this as a lock. Just that at the price right now, like, it's Mahomes at home, AFC Championship game, -120. If I had to bet the game pregame, I'd bet the Chiefs. I'm going to treat this, though, as a live betting game once it starts.
Yeah, but you and I are squarely opposite on this one, because I've mentioned him multiple times. Lou Anarumo has been phenomenal against elite quarterbacks across the NFL. He held a combination of Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson to like a negative EPA that represented exactly what Mac Jones did this season. He makes literally every quarterback appear to be Mac Jones. Now, Patrick Mahomes has had some success, but at the same time, I think if you're going to bet Kansas City, in my opinion, it would be a first-half bet on Kansas City. They've led every single game at halftime against the Bengals, and the Bengals still win those games. And they're close games, which is why I understand your, you know, coin flip idea here, where it's like, you know, if Mahomes is healthy, getting the Chiefs is a huge discount. I agree. But I just think that if you're going to bet Kansas City, in my opinion, the first half is the way to go.
I think it makes a lot of sense. Like, you could very well be right about that. I just feel like, again, we think we know what Mahomes is going to look like. Like, I want to see what he looks like on the first drive of the game before, like, I put, like, a bunch of money down on, like, what's going to happen in the game.
All right, other game?
Man, this one's brutal also, man. It's really tough to figure out. I like San Francisco a little bit. I would need to get three with the 49ers here. And I think that there's only going to be one-way traffic going up here for Philadelphia. Just the sense that I get from talking to a lot of people this week, whether pro bettors or like people in the media, former players, I don't think I've heard one person really make a strong case for San Francisco in this game. Now, San Francisco, I guess it's possible that they get, like, Christian McCaffrey returns to practice today and maybe, like people might be interested in San Francisco for that reason. But, like, McCaffrey already told the media he's going to play. Shanahan already told the media McCaffrey's going to play. Debo practiced yesterday in a limited fashion. So I'm just like, okay, what's going to cause people to bet on San Francisco here? Like, there's no injury information that's going to come out. I think, like, there's just going to be organic interest in Philadelphia. The number is close to three now. I think we'll hit Philadelphia -3 at some point before kickoff. That would probably be my buy point on San Francisco. San Francisco +3. Now, as far as the total of the game goes, I think this is a potential attack point, right? I think each team has a clear area of attack, offense versus defense. And, like, Dak Prescott was unable to do it last week because he played so poorly. But obviously, you can beat this Niners secondary down the field, right on the perimeter. And Philly has the wide receivers to do that, that other teams maybe didn't, that the Giants that the Cowboys didn't last week because Dak Prescott played so poorly, and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. So it's possible A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith could have good games. You could look at them for prop overs. And for San Francisco versus Philadelphia, offense versus defense, you know, Philly, Howie Roseman's a great GM. Like, team building, obviously awesome at that, has won a Super Bowl, maybe on the cusp of another here. They de-emphasize kind of like off-ball linebackers and safety play. You can attack this team over the middle of the field. So, like, that's Debo, that's Kittle, that's McCaffrey. So I think San Francisco could have some success here as well. I kind of like the over in the game at 46.5. I think both teams can score here. San Francisco +3 would be my buy point for betting the NFC Championship game. I think it's a really good prop betting game, though. Like, George Kittle over receiving yards, Miles Sanders under rushing yards, Christian McCaffrey under rushing yards as he continues to deal with his gimpy calf.
So I look at these games, Nick, and to me, it screams teaser weekend.
Teaser!
It screams like getting, if you can,
I know you love to be teased. I do too.
Yeah, exactly. You can, I think you can go so many different ways with this, because you can tease San Francisco up to 8.5.
Greg does too, I can tell.
Oh my God.
It's the visual. Like, and you're like, while the teasing's going on, I feel like you get 100 words per minute in.
Normally, I think while the teasing's going on, I'm actually silent.
Oh God.
It's the best way to be, bro.
It's got to take it all in, you know?
Please, Wiggy's definitely dirty talker ever. No silence there.
It's not dirty talk. Yeah. It's just talking.
Well, there are moments to talk, and there are moments, believe it or not, there are moments to be silent. Let the visual speak for themselves.
Well, if it's good, you're never going to be silent.
Yeah, man. I'm just like, yeah, man. No doubt.
Okay. I mean, really. Yes,
Sean. As I was saying, I think either side in that San Francisco Philadelphia game is a great teaser.
Potato skins.
You can get Philadelphia over 3.5 or up to 3.5 plus 3.5, and then in the Cincinnati Kansas City game again.
Oh, don't tease through zero. Like, you could be right. Like, you could make that bet and you could win, but like, please don't do that.
Please
don't tease
through.
My thought. If San Francisco,
like, no, listen. Like, can I stop? Like, because like the bet could win. Like, you could win. It is like actual math, and I am like not a man. I only know this stuff because I deal with smart people. Like, I am dumb, but like teasing through zero is like mathematically like the worst bet that you can make. Like, you gain nothing by doing it.
I thought you said math.
Yeah, me too.
I was.
I was always just more of like a pot guy.
No, I had you add an Adderall guy, to be honest.
Honestly, you think I need Adderall?
No, you don't need Adderall.
The guy doesn't even need caffeine.
No. You think I need Adderall, man?
No,
No. Please don't tease through zero. Like, please don't do that.
Okay, right. So the way I look at it is, in my opinion, I sniffed out the boat race that was Cincinnati versus Buffalo last week, and I feel like if either one of these games is going to be a blowout, it might be that Philly game.
Sure.
And the only way San Francisco wins is in a really close game. That's probably by 3 points, which is why I really like the idea of getting 3.5
points.
But
you don't think, like, I'm not saying it's a likely outcome. You don't think, like, San Francisco could blow Philly out in this game? Like,
no, I don't.
You think that is, like, not in the range of outcomes?
I don't see, yes, in my, if I was planning out, if I was mapping through all of the outcomes, San Francisco blowing out Philly would happen maybe once out of 100 times.
Oh,
maybe.
I think it's an unlikely outcome. They're underdogs in the game. But, like, is anyone, like, really convinced, like, he could play great in the game? Like, that Jalen Hurts is just going to show up on the field on Sunday and just, like, dominate this defense? Like, I'll ask you guys, like, what is Philadelphia? And I'm not saying the Eagles can't win. I'm not even giving you a strong case.
If he's healthy, I think he does.
What is Philly's, what is the Eagles' best win this season? I'll tell you what it is, and it's going to be shocking to hear this. Their best win the entire... I love that it's like, I'm going to ask you a question, then I'm going to answer it. Mm-hmm. Week one against the Lions is their best win the entire year. Like, they blew the Vikings out in week two, and I understand Minnesota had 13 wins. When the Lions hosted Minnesota late in the season, the betting market said that the Lions were better on a neutral. You don't think if the Lions and the Vikings played on a neutral field this weekend, Detroit would be favored? They absolutely would. Like, Philly could win the Super Bowl, but, like, this idea that it's just going to be, they're going to roll over a really good 49ers team, like, is this like I don't see it.
Right.
Like, they killed the Giants. The Giants suck. The Giants are terrible. Niners are not that.
Nick, Philly and San Fran is going under all day long. Both of these games, it's going to be similar to what we saw last week in Dallas, because both of their defenses can play, and Philly's defense is San Fran's defense is good against the run and good after getting after the quarterback. So the play action that Philly likes to do, Jalen Hurts is not going to have that type of time because of those edge rushes. And on the other side of the ball, you already got McCaffrey, who's dealing with a calf injury.
Yep.
They want to run the football. They're not going to be able to run it the way they want to run it, which then is going to set up their play action. And so if they can't set up the play action, which leave those crosses running wide open across the field, telling this game's goals under, similar to what we saw last week in Dallas.
Can I ask, I don't want to like commandeer the segment. Can I ask Wiggy a question?
Yes. Sure.
So, like, Shanahan's going to do what Shanahan always does,
yep,
right? Because that's Shanahan's thing.
Right.
Sirianni is kind of like in the like the chameleon mode, right? Like what the Patriots did, like with Brady, where they will be, depending on what you are as a defense, will dictate what they do as an offense.
But they want to run, though.
They want to run, but like that. But like, if Sirianni, if we're going to assume rational coaching here, like, that assumption would be that they're going to throw the ball a lot in this game, right? Because you can't run on San Francisco. Like, they're not going to have success doing that. So if you think, Wiggy, that Hurts is not going to have time to throw because of the San Francisco pass rush, then, like, would you like San Francisco in the game at +3 if it goes there? Keep the game close.
I think it's going to be close, but I still think Philly wins.
Okay. All right. Nick, we got to go. We're late. Curtis, you got something for Nick?
Very quickly, I need you to settle a bet for us.
Okay.
I believe ordering off menu at a restaurant is a douche move. Do you agree?
I used to definitely think that. So my future father-in-law does this when we go to restaurants that, like, he's like the mayor of, like, Brooklyn, Staten Island, and Manhattan. Uh-huh. So we go to restaurants and he knows everybody.
Uh-huh.
Like, the waiter will come over, and even if, like, he doesn't know the waiter, he will just be like, I'd like this. The waiter will say it's not on the menu. He'll be like, well, talk to the chef. He'll make it for me. Mm-hmm. And I used to be like, oh my God, like I am, like I want to like crawl under the table with embarrassment right now. This is brutal. But as time has gone on, I appreciate it because it's like you walk into a restaurant and you're like, I am going to get whatever I want, whether it's on the menu or not.
Thank you, Curtis.
I used to agree with you, but then like here would be my recommendation for anyone out there that thinks that's a D-bag move. Like, do it and succeed, and you will feel differently.
Thank you, Nick.
Good job.
Thank you. Yeah, that's Curtis is. As one would say, jealous. Thank you.
Curtis, go do it this weekend, man. Go to a restaurant, ask for something off the menu. They will bring it to you because you are the customer.
Right.
And then you will feel great as a result.
Thank you. I cannot wait. I will try that out. Good luck this weekend.
Nick, we'll talk to you before the Super Bowl.
Looking forward to it. Wishing everybody minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck.
All right. Nick is brought to you by You Better You Bet, the podcast that he is on, and also by BetMGM. Check out all the latest lines right now on the BetMGM app. It's the football postseason, win or go home, and Boston Sports Original has all the news, all the takes, and all the games. WEEI's coverage of the NFL playoffs is brought to you by Wise Snacks. Go to wisegameday.com for your chance to win one of 100 authentic pro football jerseys. So, big weekend coming. We got to go. We're way behind here, so we got to get out of here.
Christian's like yelling in the hallway
right now. Soundproof booths. Have never met Gresham Fauria.
What are they yelling
they
about?
They bleed out of them.
What's Christian yelling
I don't
about?
Know. He's just like he's showing me two Super Bowl rings.
Are those tears?
We're going. We'll say goodbye. Weekend is here. We'll be back on Monday. I think we have five questions with a mystery guest that is from Hollywood on Monday's show.
I'm excited about this one.
All right, so that'll be Monday. We'll be back then. Gresham Fauria next.
You and I get lunch somewhere. Order off menu.
Today?
Yeah, let's do it.
Of course, let's do it.
Awesome, my treat.
Well, is Sullivan's open yet, or is that not till next month?
A month from yesterday.
Okay, all right.
And nobody calls it Sullivan.
Way to be formal.
We'll get some glizzies. We'll order off-menu glizzies, Curtis.
Ooh, cannot wait.
All right, we'll be back Monday. Thank you for listening, and thank you for watching on Twitch. Good time we had.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.